Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And I'm still in Genesis chapter 16. And for this class, I would like us to just look at verse 13 and verse 14 from Genesis chapter 16. Once again, the whole situation here is that there's no heir, there's no seed. Sarai suggests to Abram, hey, let's handle this. We can do this because that is the way that the world at that time handled things. So they basically take Hagar, the servant, to bear a seed for Sarai, to bear a child for Sarai. Excuse me, who at this time is still barren. Then we know the situation with that, and then how Hagar flees. And then let's go ahead and look at, where is it? Starting with verse 7. And the angel of the Lord, well, let me just go ahead and start reading with verse 4. And Abram went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Verse 6. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. Do to her good in thy sight. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And so verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found Hagar by a fountain of water in the wilderness. A fountain of water in the wilderness. By the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now verse 13. And Hagar called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Verse 14. Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar, verse 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So, in just right here, verse 13, what I want to do is just look at several different translations so we can kind of get a good picture of this. And I can't remember, we'll look at a few commentaries as well. And I can't remember if it's in one of the commentaries that I'll be reading during this class. But the thing was that they mentioned in this particular commentary is basically there's several ways that the translators have translated this passage in verse 13 because it's a hard passage to translate. And ultimately what the commentator said was basically this. When reading this passage, all of the different ways that it can be translated must be taken into account to get, they must all be seen to get the full effect, basically, something like that. And like I said, I may have copied that commentary that says that, and forgive me if I didn't, And I've read so many different commentaries, Spanish and English, concerning this verse, and looked at several different translations, both Spanish and English as well. Excuse me. So I'll just go ahead and just start reading a few translations. This is the Authorized Version, the King James Version, the one that I just finished reading from when I read the context. It says, "And she called, Hagar called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also looked here after him that seeth me?" Okay. Now here's the New American Standard Bible, the 1995 edition. And it says, "Then she, Hagar, called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, You are a God who sees. For she said, Have I even remained alive after seeing him?" And, excuse me, as I stated, these translations will differ. Some will be similar, but they're all according to the original terms. And every one of the translators was basically trying to present what was said. And like I said, take into context all of them. Because, listen, they all apply and must be looked at. Once again, I'll read the King James, the Authorized Version one. "Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" The New American Standard, 1995. "You are a God who sees, for she said, Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" All right. And when I was reading these translations, different verses were coming into my mind. We'll read one of them concerning Jacob. But just different ones, Manoah, with seeing the angel of the Lord, with the angel of the Lord declaring the birth of Samson. Okay, so they, as I stated, they all apply. This is the English Standard Version with key numbers. So she called the name of the Lord who spake to her, "You are a God of seeing. For she said, Truly here, I have seen him who looks after me. Therefore, the well was called Beer Laharoi. It lies between Kadesh and Bered." And, excuse me, I wanted to look at the notes for the English Standard Version, the notes, because here's where it got my attention concerning reading other translations and other commentaries. Where it says, "You are a God of seeing," they have a note that it can also be translated. It says, or, "You are a God who sees me," or, "You are a God who sees me." Then it goes on, "For she said, Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." And there's another note. It says the Hebrew. It says, "Have I really seen him here who sees me? Or, would I have looked here for the one who sees me?" And do you see how all of these apply? For one thing, when I was just reading that, I was like, oh my God, have I really seen him here who sees me? The first thing that came into my mind, my heart, was the very question that came into my heart, I don't know how many years ago. And it was during a time when I was seeing the light of the testimony, when I was seeing Christ in the scriptures, which is the light of the testimony, and calling that seeing the Lord. Well, yes, you are seeing the Lord, but it's seeing the Lord in the testimony, which I believe is completely necessary. All right, because in the Psalms, the psalmist says, "Thy word," which is the testimony, "thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." It implies motion, and it implies an expected end, a destination to come to. And this that we are to come to is the true light of the world. Concerning John the Baptist, I think it's in the Gospel of John chapter 1, it says, John was sent before. He was a light. He testified of the true light of him who was to come, but he was like a burning torch, a light that would prepare the heart for the true light, Christ himself. So just in reading that, I remember a time when, and it takes a miracle of God for any of this, for even this prayer that I was going to mention that I had, I began praying and asking the Lord, Lord, have I really seen you? Have I really seen you? And I would confess, Lord, I believe I've seen you, but only you truly know whether I've seen you or not. And see, once we have this thought, this concept of I've got it, or I have it, or I know it, then most likely that is our knowing, our getting. And of anything of God, it requires the Lord himself. New birth, for a soul to be born again, requires the Lord himself. For a heart, a soul to come unto the knowledge of new birth, to know who is present, Christ who is present, requires a miracle of God. It requires the Lord. It always requires the Lord. That's one of the reasons there's no boasting in man. There's no boasting in self and what I can do, or my ability, or what man can do, man's ability in general. Man cannot. Remember, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So when I read that, have I really seen him here who sees me? That just was like, wow, Lord. You know, not to deceive ourselves in a sense, but to bring it before God himself and let God be the one who makes that call. That God be the one, because really it is God the Father, the only one who can make known his Son. Jesus said, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. That's it. So it is only God who can make known his Son. All right. And it goes on, or would I have looked here for the one who sees me? And we search and search the scriptures, and the scriptures are given of God as a testimony of Jesus Christ for one end, that our heart would come unto this one. To know this one, Christ himself. And I was thinking about Moses, how Moses, and it was all by divine providence, the Lord did this. The Lord brought him out of Egypt into the desert, until all that time, the Lord preparing the ground of Moses' heart, until Moses takes the sheep around the Mount of God, to the Mount of God. And it says of Moses that he saw a bush that was on fire, and he wondered at this great sight, and he stepped aside to look at this great sight. And so even right here, with how this can be translated, would I have looked here for the one who sees me? No, man has no clue where to look, where to find. We must continually be led by the Spirit of God. Remember, when the Lord initially gave instructions to Abram, it was, get thee from thy land, from thy kindred, and come unto a land that I will show thee. That is all that Abram knew. God didn't present to him a map or anything. No. Abram had no clue where the Lord was leading him, where the Lord was guiding him, or what he would find in this land. What he would discover in this land, Abram had no clue. He gets as far as Haran. Terah dies in Haran. The Lord repeats. The Lord does not change purpose. Does not change his purpose. Declares the same thing to Abram yet once again. Get thee from thy land, from thy kindred. And yet now he adds, from thy father's house. And come unto the land I will show thee. And so here's Abram once again going, being led of God. And then ultimately we read that it's the Lord who brought Abram. And we've looked at those verses before, and you can search them out. It's the Lord who brought Abram. And then when Abram finally comes to the land, and to me that's like when the heart finally turns to the Lord, it says, and Abram came to the land of Canaan, and the Lord appeared. How did Abram know that he arrived at the place where God was drawing, leading, guiding him? The Lord appeared. This was it. Maybe Abram expected to see the Lord in Ur of the Chaldees. I don't know. Maybe Abram expected to see the Lord in Haran, which is basically halfway between Ur and Canaan, the land. I don't know. But the Lord continued until the Lord brought Abram where the Lord wanted Abram to be. And I've said it this way, the Lord brought Abram's heart unto where he had brought Abram's soul in reality. Because at the very moment that the God of glory first appeared unto Abram, at that moment his soul was brought unto reality, unto the Lord himself. The heart, on the other hand, that governs, wasn't quite there yet. That's why I've always mentioned that it is reality. There's an order. It is reality, then the knowledge of reality. So, just right here, the Hebrew can be read as, have I really seen him here who sees me? Or it can be read, would I have looked here for the one who sees me? And both apply. Excuse me. And I'll answer that question. Would I have looked here for the one who sees me? I actually answered it. I put, no, we wouldn't have. No, we wouldn't have. It goes on to say, I jotted this. This is my comment right here. It is a miracle of God to see the Lord. The Lord determines when and where, but the intention is to see the Lord. It's not a matter of a place or of a time. That's not the issue. The place, the time is not the issue. The Lord appearing is the issue. Okay? I do want to make that clear. The issue is the Lord appearing, the Lord himself appearing. Okay. I've got another note where it says, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. And the English Standard Version has this note, and it's Genesis chapter 32, is what I was mentioning earlier, verse 30, and this is Jacob. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And that's one of their notes there. It goes on also, let's see. Therefore, verse 14, therefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. And here's a note, once again, English Standard Version notes. It says Beer Laharoi means the well of the living one who sees me. Okay? And I just wanted to make mention right here that it also has two references. And I'll just go ahead and read the references for Beer Laharoi. It's Genesis chapter 24, verse 62, and Genesis chapter 25, verse 11. And both references are concerning Isaac, how that Isaac dwelt there at the well. Isaac dwelt at the well of the living one who sees me. And once again, Isaac never left the land. He never, not like Abram who went down to Egypt, Isaac never went down to Egypt. Okay? So even right here, though Hagar is on her way to Egypt, she's still in the land. And therefore the Lord appears. And not only that, but, I can't say it that way, not only that. No. There's an order. The Lord speaks to her, and the Lord makes himself known to her. She hears the voice. She turns to see the voice that is speaking with her. She sees the Lord and declares, excuse me, the one whom she sees. And that's basically it. She declares the one whom she sees. This is the Holman Christian Standard Bible. This is another translation I want us to read. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, the God who sees. For she said, in this place, have I actually seen the one who sees me? That is why she named this spring a well of the living one who sees me. This is the Shocking Bible, the same passage. Now she called the name of Yahweh, the one who was speaking to her. Remember, the one who was speaking to her, the voice is being heard. You, God, are seeing. For she said, have I actually gone on seeing here after he is seeing me? Basically, do I still live after seeing him who sees me? Then it goes on, therefore the well was called Well of the Living One who sees me. This is a complete Jewish Bible. So she named Adonai, who had spoken with her, El Roi, God of seeing. God of seeing. Because she said, have I really seen the one who sees me and stayed alive? And stayed alive is in brackets. So I think this, the translators are showing that it was that they added that, is my thought on that. Verse 14, this is why the well has been called Beer Lakairoi, well of the one who lives and sees. I love that. Well of the one who lives and sees. And just in reading all these different versions, and we'll probably see it come up again and again, I was just thinking about John on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, just look at the order. John on the Isle of Patmos. He says this, I was on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ, and I heard a voice that spoke behind me, and I turned to see the voice, and he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And it says, and he laid his right hand upon me and said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I am he that liveth. I am the living one. I am the living one. And just right here, once again, Bir la Haroi, well of the one who lives and sees. Spring, fountain of the one who lives and sees. And this is what it was all about for Hagar. See, up until this point, up until this point, Genesis chapter 16, it doesn't say anything that about Hagar having seen the Lord. I mean, it's not mentioned in the scriptures. Now, maybe she did, because we're going to look at a translation or a commentary that implies that, but it's not specific in there. And see, with the Lord, once again, looking at Hagar, yes, I do know that for the testimony's sake, there is going to come a time when Sarai says, cast out the bondwoman and her child, for the child of the bondwoman shall not be heir, shall not, you know, be part of the inheritance, namely Isaac is the heir. Okay? I know for the testimony's sake, that will happen, and we'll see that later on in the next few chapters probably. But the thing is this, is that Hagar is still the real person whose soul God created. Though she is not Jew, God created the soul for just the same. And later on, I make a note here, and I might as well just read it since I'm mentioning it. It is Romans. And not sure where I jotted that note down, but well, I did look at it, and it is Romans. But basically, Paul is saying this: salvation first. Let me just go ahead and look it up real quick, so I don't misquote it. All right. I'll jot it down here, and if it's later on in the notes, we'll look at it again. Romans chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. It says, so as much as in me is, this is the Apostle Paul, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to the Gentile, to those who are not Jews. So, once again, with Hagar, though she has been brought in, God created the soul of man for one purpose, regardless whether that soul is Jew or Gentile. That is why whosoever will can be saved. Whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord. Because God, even right here, God is not looking at Abram and Sarai as people, in a sense. Hold on. Don't get upset. And he's not looking at Hagar as, oh, well, that's just their slave. No. That's just their servant. No. He is looking at Abram as a soul, which I created for my purpose. Sarai is a soul, which I created for my purpose. Hagar is a soul, which I created for my purpose. And that's what he's looking at. God is not a respecter of persons. Why? He doesn't look at the outward. There is a soul that he created for his one end, his one purpose, right? So, Bir Laharoi, well of the one who lives and sees. I love that. And, excuse me, as I mentioned with Hagar, for her, this is what it was all about. To hear the voice of the Lord and to see the voice, to see the one who is speaking with her. To actually see the Lord, have an experiential encounter with the Lord that will, from that moment onward, govern. And I can't remember if I mentioned it in our last class, but just remember, before this moment, before the Lord spoke and appeared, Hagar was on her way to Egypt. She had already settled it in her mind, settled it in her heart. She is fleeing. But when the Lord spoke and appeared, something greater now governed from that moment onward. And that's why when the Lord says, return to thy mistress Sarai, now there is the ability to return and submit unto Sarai. Because that's what the angel said. Return unto thy mistress Sarai and submit thyself under her hand. Before, with man, listen, it is impossible. But now, it is not man, but God, the ability. So, I totally believe right here, Hagar could have confessed, it is not I, but the Lord. She was obedient unto the heavenly vision. And we'll see later on, when the Lord yet appears again unto Hagar. All right, so going on. The Septuagint in English, the Brenton translation of the Septuagint, it says, and she called the name of the Lord, who spake to her, thou art God who seest me. For she said, for I have openly seen him that appeared to me. I love that. Verse 4, therefore she called the well of him whom I have openly seen. Look at the order here. For I have openly seen him that appeared to me. If the Lord had not appeared to her, she would not have seen him, and she would have continued on her way to Egypt. All right. And just with that word, openly, it just, you probably thought about this verse also, where the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, I've got it marked here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, where he says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory into that same image by the Spirit of the Lord. So there is something, once again, greater now governing her heart than there was before. And this is because the Lord appeared. And that something is the Lord himself. All right. This is the Greek Apostolic Bible polyglot with Strong's numbers. And it's I was comparing it also with the Septuagint for this, for one particular phrase that, that we're going to look at. Because I got completely excited when I read it. And I was like, this has to be in the Septuagint. And it is. So I'm excited about that. Let me go ahead and just read it. And she called, and once again, this is basically the Greek Old Testament. And she called the name of the Lord, the one speaking to her, you, the God, the one looking upon me. For even face to face, I beheld the one appearing to me. For even face to face, I beheld the one appearing to me. And the term, the phrase face to face, enopion, it is in the Septuagint, that term, and it is face. And so when I read that, I was like, it just bears witness all over the Old Testament. God spoke to Moses as a man speaketh unto his friend face to face. And it goes on, the two cherubims in the ark, above the Ark of the Covenant, were face to face. So this just completely excited me when I saw that. And once again, as I stated this, we can't say, oh, it means this, or no, it just means this, because there's a lot of debate concerning this one passage right here. It's a hard passage that translators have struggled with. And, you know, there's some will say, well, no, it means this. Others will say, no, it means this. Others will say, well, really, it means this. And like I said, there's a commentary, and forgive me if I don't have it written, but there's a commentary that says, basically, just, you have to take it all in. You have to take it all in. She saw the Lord. And ultimately, that is the issue. She saw the Lord because the Lord made himself known. And that is what it was all about. It's kind of like Abram. Get thee out from thy land, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. Well, get thee out from thy land, from thy kindred, unto the land that I will show thee. And then get thee out from thy land, thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. What is it all about? Getting out? No. It is about the land that God desires to show Abram. Which land the Apostle Paul later defines this way. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. The land wherein Christ dwells. That is the issue. That is what it's all about. Okay, this is the Bible in basic English. excuse me. Like I said, I looked at a ton of translations. I don't even know how many translations I have, but I read up through a lot of them. And I copied the translations down just because of to get into the whole the I can't even remember what word I was using. To take them all in, all right. But once again, Bible in basic English. And to the Lord who was talking with her, she gave this name: "You are a God who is seen." For she said, "Have I not even here in the wasteland had a vision of God, and am still living?" So that fountain was named Fountain of Life and Vision. The Fountain of Life and the Fountain of Vision. And the fountain, the wellspring, the source, Christ. the fountain of life and vision. And just in reading these, remember, this is where Isaac dwelt. He dwelt for a time here at the fountain of life, the fountain of vision. I love that. I mean, what a great way to translate this. And what a great way to see the testimony of Christ in it. And yes, the different ones will indeed, different commentators will indeed say, yes, she saw the Lord. She saw the angel of the Lord. She indeed saw Christ himself. Which is true. Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40, they are they that testify of me. The whole purpose of Hagar was to see the Lord. That's it. That's it. So, once again, so that fountain was named Fountain of Life and Vision. This is the contemporary English version. Have I really seen God and lived to tell about it? So from then on, she called him the God who sees me. This is the Darby version. And she called the name of Jehovah who spoke to her, thou art the God who reveals himself. For she said, also here have I seen after he has revealed himself. And remember, and I know I've got this note somewhere. Yeah, I got it later on, the last translation that I've got, the last version that I've got written down. But just remember, where is it? Darby version, once again. The God who reveals himself. For she said, also here have I seen after he has revealed himself. Now she sees. Why? Because God has revealed himself. And remember, a couple classes back, we were looking at the man who was blind, who was crying out, Luke chapter 18, towards the end of Luke chapter 18, he was crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, declaring him to be the expected Messiah, the expected Christ, have mercy on me. He does this twice, gets the Lord's attention to where finally the Lord asks him, what will you have me do for you that I might receive my sight? And the Lord gives him his sight. And then it says that this man followed Jesus in the way. How could he follow him if he were not looking at him? I was just thinking about this. Play follow the leader with everyone blindfolded. Just play follow the leader with everybody blindfolded. And you designate one as the leader. And let everybody follow him. Do you see what I mean? He followed. Now he could see the Lord. Therefore, now he could truly follow the Lord. Okay, now, I've got to say this. Abram was in Ur of the Chaldees. The Lord was leading him. The Lord was guiding him, though Abram did not see the Lord. Abram in Haran, the Lord continued leading, continued guiding, though he had not yet seen the Lord. But see, once Abram saw the Lord, though he may have stepped out once from purpose unto Egypt, purpose still governed his heart. Abram probably didn't have a perfect walk, but Abram continued in the appearing of the Lord. Therefore, Abram served the purpose of the Lord in his generation. And that is what it is all about, even right here with Hagar. Hagar's fleeing. And yet the Lord appears, even in this place, and in a place you would not have expected. When I did my Spanish class that morning, I thought of this and I jotted it down, and I made this comment. I put a note here: the goodness of God toward man is not based upon any merit of man whatsoever. The goodness of God toward man is not based upon any merit of man whatsoever. It's not a matter of what man does or man doesn't do. No, God is good. This is who he is. This is who he is. Remember, it rains on the just and on the unjust. God is good. He is good because we look and we say, ah, well this or ah, well that. No, God looks and he says, here's a soul which I've created for my end, for my purpose. God is good, regardless of man, regardless. All right, not sure where I was. The Darby version. The God who reveals himself, for she said, also here have I seen after he has revealed himself. Now she sees because he has revealed himself. Okay, this is the Douay Rheims Bible. It says, and she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou the God who hast seen me. For she said, verily here have I seen the hinder parts of him that seeth me. And remember with Moses, he asked, Lord, let me see your glory. And then the Lord's response was, you shall not see my face. And then he says, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand and you will see my hinder parts as my glory passeth by. And he did. And yes, I know it also, because I quoted it earlier. It also says that the Lord spoke to Moses as a man speaketh to his friend face to face. Because see, there's a testimony going on. That's why you can have these two seemingly contradicting verses, because there is a testimony going on. Moses, who is a type of Christ, who always beholds the face of his Father. So, going on here. This is the easy-to-read version. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, he's just pulling everything out. Well, just listen to this. I love the way it says this. The Lord talked to Hagar. She began to use a new name for God. She said to him, you are God who sees me. She said, this is because she thought, I see that even in this place, God sees me and cares for me. And at first I thought, oh, that's too mushy. I'm not going to use it. And then I thought, wait. I see that even in this place, God sees me and cares for me. Once again, why? Because God does not see a person having done good or having done evil in that sense. God sees a soul whom he himself created for his purpose. I put a note here, and we won't read it, but it's Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. The psalmist David is declaring, where shall I go from your presence? Basically, if I take the wings and soar to the highest heaven, behold, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are with me. Where can I flee from you? I see that even in this place, God sees me and cares for me. And once again, it is because the Lord sees the soul which he has created for his very own end, his very own purpose. This is the Jubilee Bible by Stendhal, Russell Stendhal. It says, and she called the name of the Lord that spoke to her, Thou God that is seen, for she said, have I not also here seen the back of him that sees me? This is the Lexham English Bible, 4th edition. So she called the name of Yahweh who spoke to her, you are El Roy. For she said, here I have seen after he who sees me. This is the Modern King James Version by J.P. Green Sr. It says, and she called the name of Jehovah who had spoken to her, you are a God of vision. For she said, even here have I looked after him that sees me. That sees me? That's a question mark. This is the LITV, the literal translation of the Holy Bible, also by J.P. Green Sr. It says, and she called the name of Jehovah, the one speaking to her, you a God of vision. For she said, even here have I looked after the one seeing me. And it's as a question mark. Even here have I looked after the one seeing me. Right. This is the Tree of Life version, the Messianic Jewish Family Bible Society. So she called Adonai, who was speaking to her, you are the God who sees me. For she said, would I have gone here, indeed looking for him who looks after me. This is Young's literal translation. And she called the name of Jehovah, who is speaking unto her, thou art, O God, my beholder. For she said, even here have I looked behind my beholder. Even here have I looked behind my beholder. And then the last translation that I've got is the concordant literal version. And calling is Hagar, the name of Yahweh, who spoke to her, you El see me. For she says, moreover, hither see I after my seeing. After her seeing the Lord, now she sees. All right, I'm just going to read a few excerpts just to wrap up the class here from a few commentaries. This is the pulpit commentary for Genesis chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. And I'll just read, like I said, just a few excerpts. For where it says, that spake unto her, thou God seest me, literally, thou art El Roy, a God of seeing, meaning either the God of my vision, that is the God who reveals thyself in vision, or, though this says or, though less correctly, the God who sees all things. And goes on, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Literally, have I also hitherto seen? That is, do I also still live after the vision? And then it goes on for Genesis chapter 16, verse 14, concerning Bir Laharoi, or the well of him that liveth and seeth me, the well of the living one of vision, that is, of God who appeared there, or the well of the life of vision, that is, where after seeing God, life was preserved. Or, where in consequence of seeing God, a new life was imparted. And what I've jotted down, life now governs she, because she was in the household of Abram, the household of faith. Remember, Abram considered the father of faith, she was in that household. In my understanding, she was born again. And yet, new birth is with purpose. Remember once again what Jesus said? He said, basically this way, the purpose for those who are in the house and the purpose for those who come into the house is to see the light of the house. The light of the house who is Christ himself. Okay? This is the Torah commentary, the JPS Torah commentary, Jewish Publication Society Torah commentary. Hagar, the slave, is spiritually stirred by her revelatory experience. She has become conscious of God's concern for the downtrodden. And see, that's it. She's now governed by him whom she has seen. She's governed by life. She's governed by reality, so much so that she can go back and submit herself unto Sarai, who dealt hardly with her, where before she was fleeing. She could, once again, I'll say it, she could confess, it is not I, but the Lord. Not my ability, but the Lord. I've got a comment that I'll read in just a second. Going on with the Torah commentary, the JPS Torah commentary, where it says, she called the Lord. Literally, she calls the name of Yahweh. The name is inextricably bound up with existence and with the nature and character of the being who bears it. This is the Lord himself. Hagar gives expression to her personal discovery by designating God after the particular aspect of his providence that she has experienced. She discovered the Lord who is present. And it's like wanting to know peace. And you cannot, we who are born again, cannot know peace except we know Christ who is peace. Remember what Jesus told, I think it was Philip, where Philip says, hey, show us, he tells Jesus, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. It's sufficient for us. Show us the Father and that is sufficient for us. And Jesus says, his response was, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. All right. El Roy, continuing with the Torah commentary, El Roy, God of seeing, the all-seeing God, God of my seeing, that is, whom I have seen, God who sees me. When God sees, it is, of course, that he shows his concern and extends his protection. When Hagar sees, she experiences God's self-manifestation. And now, because she has experienced the one who is present, she has had an experiential encounter with the one who is present. She has discovered the one who is present in an experiential way, the Lord making himself known unto her, which had he not done, she would never know who is present. Now she is governed by him whom she has seen. And once again, I want us to look at, I did make a note here, and I'll look at the verse real quick. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, because this is what I thought of concerning Moses, how by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses, governed by something greater, governed by seeing him who is invisible. Hagar, now governed by something greater, governed by seeing him who is invisible. And she can thus now return and submit herself under the hand of Sarai. By the ability, the power of another. Three more commentaries to go. We'll wrap it up here. This is John Phillips' commentary. The well of the vision, just an excerpt from here. Wherefore the well was called Bir Laharoi, the well of him that liveth and seeth me. One translator renders it basically, the well of the vision of life. The well of the vision of life. The source, the fountain of the vision of life. It was a place where Hagar passed from death to life. And what I'll say is basically the place where Hagar passed from being governed by death to being governed by life. From governed, self-governed to governed by the Lord. Okay? Because she was obedient to the heavenly vision, she went back and submitted herself to Sarai. Finally, Hagar gave vital expression to her faith. She returned to Abram's camp and submitted herself to Sarai. There you go. All right, this is John Gill's expositor, and I just wanted to read a couple of the comments that he mentions concerning the Targums. And this is a Targum of Onkelos. She prayed in the name of the Lord. Hagar. She prayed in the name of the Lord. It goes on, the Targum of Jonathan, and she confessed or gave thanks before the Lord whose word spake unto her. And the Jerusalem Targum says it takes both takes in both prayer and praise. And Hagar gave thanks and prayed in the name of the word of the Lord who was revealed unto her. And John Gill goes on to say, in which may be observed the sense of the ancient synagogue, that this angel that appeared to Hagar and talked with her was the word of the Lord, the eternal Logos, or Son of God. And then finally, the commentary that mentions this is a Spanish commentary. I could not find an English commentary that even came close to this, and I searched a good portion for a good while. This is the Comentario de la Biblia de Israel, the Israeli Bible commentary, something like that. Of course, it's in Spanish, concerning where it says, after she had seen. It says basically this: in Abram's house, it was normal to see angels. This was the norm in Abram's house. And once again, by reading not only the Targums, and not only the actual passage itself, and not only all the different commentaries and all the translations of the verse, it is the Lord who was seen. So the norm in the house of Abram was to see the Lord. This was the norm. This was normal in the house of Abram, the one who continued serving the purpose of the Lord in his generation, the one who continued in the appearing of the Lord. This was normal. It was not abnormal. No, it was normal. Listen, to come into this house, the normality of this house was to see the Lord. In coming into this house, whether you are of Abram or whether you are of Egypt, coming into this house was all about seeing the Lord, and that was the norm. That is what governed this house. And once again, I'll just go ahead and end it. Excuse me. End it with this, and I'll make a note here, and I'll look it up later on. But I know it specifically. It's in two passages in the Gospels where Jesus says basically that the purpose for those who are in the house and the purpose for those who come into the house is to see the light of the house. And that light is Christ himself. Because John, once again, on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I heard the voice that spake with me. I turned to see the voice. And being turned, he says, I saw seven golden lampstands. A perfect testimony. And then he goes on to say this: and in the midst of the lampstands, he declares Christ. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he declared, I am the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. I am the living one. And this, my brothers and sisters, is the norm. This is normal. So, awesome passage. Awesome passage. The Lord, no respecter of persons. He just sees the soul that he created for his end, for his purpose, the appearing of his Son. That's it. That's it. Glory to God that the Lord brought Hagar, that we see of here, unto this end, where the Lord speaks, the Lord appears, and it has an effect upon her. She is now no longer governed by what she was governed before. Now she is governed by the one whom she has seen, the one who has revealed himself unto her, the one who has made himself known unto her. Therefore, she has discovered him who is present even here in this place. So Once again, may we just present all this that we've just been going over, these verses, these passages, these commentaries, everything that we read, everything that we study, everything that we search out, everything that we use, the tools, everything. Just present it to the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God would take it to prepare the ground of our heart, the ground of our soul, for God's expected end. That the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would work according to the will of God in our hearts. Amen? Amen. So I'll go ahead and leave for this class. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.